talking with Thanu Yakupi Tiage, who is the communications director for 350.org, one of the principal climate change organizations internationally. Honestly, a lot of our attention in recent weeks have been focused on the issue of the coronavirus, which is certainly a very critical short-term emergency that we have to respond to. But at the same time, we have both the short-term and the long-term crisis involving the issue of climate change and its rapidly accelerating impact upon many communities. Wanted to check to see, Thanu, how is that relationship of the work between climate change and coronavirus going at this point?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me. You know, this is a really, really strange time. It's a very scary time for a lot of people. And we at 350.org, we're taking this pandemic really seriously. We're urging all communities to unite, to protect one another in pursuit of dignity and justice. And we all know, we all deserve care and dignity and protection in dealing with this pandemic. And we recognize that this pandemic is more than just a public health crisis at this point. It's also a crisis of rising xenophobia, lack of access, inequity. There are people who aren't going to be able to pay their rents. There's a lot of workers in the informal economy that are out of work. And so there's been some really broad impacts to this pandemic all across the U.S. And so we definitely are sending everyone our love. You know, we think it's really, really important that the government really step in to be protecting people at this time. And as a climate organization, we recognize the connection between global pandemics and the climate crisis. Medical researchers and climate scientists note that viral outbreaks may become more common with the progression of the climate crisis. And just as with the climate crisis, we know that the way to combat this pandemic is through rapid and swift action that prioritizes human rights and dignity. And so, you know, there's a lot of lessons to be learned from this pandemic. We saw the ways in which governments, you know, even though they could have possibly done better, did mobilize really, really quickly. And as a climate organization, we're really looking to take lessons from this. Because if governments could mobilize this quickly around this pandemic, then they are able to do it around the climate crisis at large. And as with the climate crisis, there's no arguing about the reality and science of the coronavirus. You can pretend it's not happening, but people literally are getting sick. People are being impacted and their lives are being devastated. And so we're really being focused on community care right now.
Well, you mentioned the science around both the coronavirus and the science around climate change. It does seem that some of the forces that tend to deny that the impact of fossil fuels is having on climate change also tend to be some of the ones who haven't quite grasped the seriousness of the coronavirus situation.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that deny all you want, but science does not lie. Literally, you can try to say that this isn't bad, but the number of cases are going up. I live in New York City, and New York City is now one of the center hubs of the coronavirus, with the cases up to over 12,000. And that's really, really scary. And so no amount of denial is going to change the reality of the situation. There's nothing good about the coronavirus. It's killing many people and shutting millions more inside with fear as their main companion. Also in the US, we saw how the federal government was able to mobilize billions to combat COVID, a crucial move as we fight for we really need free and accessible healthcare for all. These are the lessons that we're learning from this. And as youth everywhere have been demanding action on the climate crisis, they're going to continue to demand that kind of action. Headline news every day, constant release of death toll, analysis of government action. Yeah, we need to really ensure that the public understands the gravity of the situation. And these elected officials who are denying the reality, they're not helping.
Now, some individuals, groups have come out recently with a green stimulus package, which is quite comprehensive, not just to the immediate response to the coronavirus, but also how do you transition into a just a world where you know, fossil fuels and climate change is dealt with. But at the same time, Congress, somewhat incredibly to many of us, has actually, with being pushed by the Trump administration, been discussing the possible bailout of the fossil fuel industry. How are some arguments that groups like 350 have used with Congress not to do a bailout of the fossil fuel companies at this point? point?
We are for people over profits. And it is a massive mistake to be bailing out the fossil fuel industry right now. It really shows what the Trump administration's priorities are, that even in the middle of a pandemic, when thousands of people are dying, he's still picking corporations over people. He's still picking dirty energy. And we're flabbergasted by that. This pandemic has unveiled this crisis of classism and racism, of economic decline and of climate destruction. And COVID-19 is really magnifying the ills of normalizing people over profit. We support an economy-wide stimulus that prioritizes people and planet. We support a package focused on health and economic relief for all people, with special protections for chronically underserved communities and workers. And it's time for a people's bailout. We don't want the same thing to happen that happened in 2008, where Wall Street was bailed out while people were faced with the housing crisis. We have the opportunity to do things differently. And we're calling on Congress to do that, to seize the opportunity to ensure that there's both immediate relief and long-term recovery that saves lives. We think it's time for real leadership that charts a path forward to a livable future. And our demands for a stimulus package is one that boosts the creation of jobs, sustains families, responds to systemic inequity, and directly invests in the most underserved communities. Because the climate crisis is not going to wait for partisan politics. Like, it's happening right now. And so, you know, we're really calling for a stimulus package that actually is a down payment for the kind of economy we want, because we know that there's no turning back from this point. Coronavirus really is demonstrating for us in 2020, in the start of this decade, what life could possibly be like moving forward. And if we want to be able to live secure and sustainable lives where we can actually enjoy each other, where we can actually be around each other, we need to build a different kind of economy and a different kind of world.
Now, one of the points that the climate change movement has made, certainly here in the United States, but also worldwide, is that principal victims of climate change are the ones who have not caused it. And that is poor people of the planet, people of color, the need for environmental justice. And that seems to be somewhat the message that a lot of groups are raising right now with two of the victims of the coronavirus. You know, is there, you know, linkages that are, you know, developing or being strengthened between, you know, sort of those who have been at the forefront of the fight for climate justice and now those who are fighting for the justice for people being harmed by the coronavirus?
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of opportunity right now. A lot of climate groups, 350, Sierra Club, Rainforest Action Network, are all part of this whole initiative called People Over Profit. And I think that there's really something to be said between like those on the front lines of COVID and those on the front lines of the climate crisis. Just as with the climate crisis, those who are being impacted by COVID, they did not create this pandemic. It really requires the government step up and they act swiftly and fastly. And the Trump administration did not do that. They could have put in measures in January and they failed to do that. We live in a very globally connected world. And what's happening right now in the US, like, we could have foreseen it. And we had a government that was too busy supporting corporations to really think about the needs of the people. And, you know, I think it's been really interesting to observe how, like, the fabric of American society literally unraveled in 3 days. And if we had some very basic protections, if we had healthcare access for all, if we had Medicare for all, if we had more focus on equity for communities, we would be in a very different place than we are now. And so I feel like this is a real opportunity to for Congress to really be thinking about, like, what kind of an America do they want? Like, how do we really want to sustain communities? Just one comparison between the climate crisis and this pandemic. If you think about the climate crisis at large, so for example, since 2018, about 60 million people have suffered the consequences of extreme weather and climate change. There's been thousands of people who have died in places like Europe, Japan, and the US because of heat waves and wildfires. There is like an overall impact to the climate crisis, and still governments have not acted. And yet we've seen, because of the really tangible impacts of the pandemic, that governments have acted. And what our message to them is, you need to support people to get through this pandemic, and you need to support people to get through the climate crisis at large, because it's going to be a real failure to think of this pandemic as like a solo thing that's happening and it would never happen again, because we know that in times of ecological devastation of a climate crisis, events like this, like a pandemic, is more likely to occur. And so we need to do things differently.
We've been talking with Anu Yakupitiage, who is the communications director for 350.org. This has been Mark Dunley with the Hudson Mohawk Radio Network.